Greetings. On behalf of the St. John's United Methodist Church family, I want you to get ready to have life spoken into you. These messages that you're going to hear by audio or video are carefully crafted that they might feed your faith and starve your doubts. We pray that God will make you stronger and will prepare you for the destiny that He's called you to live into, not only in the week to come, but in the rest of your life through how God speaks to us through His text and through these servants. We treat it with precious honor that we are gifted and given the opportunity to feed your faith. And so now, get ready, receive, and know that God has a word for you.
Good morning. May the Lord add His blessing to the scripture that I'm about to share with you from Matthew 6, verses 22 through 33. The eye is the lamp of the body. Therefore, if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how terrible that darkness will be. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be loyal to the one and have contempt for the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Therefore, I say to you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, or about your body or what you'll wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds in the sky. They don't sow seed or harvest grain or gather crops into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth much more than they are? Who among you is worrying can add a single moment to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? Notice how the lilies in the field grow. They don't wear themselves out with work, and they don't spin cloth. But I say to you, then even Solomon in his splendor wasn't dressed like one of these. If God dresses grass in the field so beautifully, even though it's alive today and tomorrow it's thrown into the furnace, won't God do much more for you, you people of weak faith? Therefore, don't worry and say, what are we going to eat, or what are we going to drink, or what are we going to wear? Gentiles long for all these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Instead, desire first and foremost God's kingdom and God's righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well.
Well, this is our third week on the topic of worship, and we have heard various definitions of the term, but one of the books that I have referenced quite a bit throughout our 10x10 journey is called The Spiritual Disciplines Handbook, and it says this about worship: true worship does not equal going to church on Sundays. True worship of God happens when we put God first in our lives, when what God says matters more than what others say, and when loving God matters more than being loved. Well, these are powerful words for sure, because by letting go of the worldly need to make people happy and by focusing on God, it gives us the courage that we need to stand up and speak out and act out for what God wants in the world. The heart of worship is to seek to know and to love God with our entire being. We are the image of God, and when we truly worship, we can allow this image to be front and center. The Spiritual Disciplines Handbook also says this about the practice of worship: seek first the kingdom of God and keep secondary things secondary. Well, this looks like a lot of things, but one of the things it looks like is that Jesus expanded the kingdom of God to all people, but especially to the poor, the marginalized, and the outcast. One of my favorite theologians, Soren Kierkegaard, said, "The matter is quite simple. The Bible is very easy to understand. But we as Christians pretend to be unable to understand because we know very well that the minute we do understand, we are obliged to act accordingly." Well, of course, as people ascribe to the Wesleyan tradition, we note the absolute importance of justification by faith. We surrender our lives to Christ, and we don't lean on our good works for salvation. We believe in what Christ has done for us on the cross and in the resurrection. And because of this, we attempt to live a lifestyle that is specifically designed for us in the gospel. Maybe you've heard this phrase, "I'm not saved because I'm good. I am good because I am saved." So the question upon becoming a Christian has to be, do our lives look different? Do our consumption patterns, our social networks, our lifestyles look different than they did before we made a commitment to Christ? Well, the unfortunate truth is that the American church has a lot of work to do. A study was conducted at Willow Creek Community Church in Chicago to measure their progress on raising up fully devoted followers of Christ. And the results, they were not what the church leadership was hoping for. The study showed they were pretty good at making believers, but not as good at making disciples. Shane Claiborne made a comment about this study, and he says that our Christianity has become a mile long, but an inch deep. Well, worship without dependence on Christ can become just a tradition. And Jesus knew that people could do some of the things that he did. They could heal and they could preach, but it didn't mean that they loved and worshiped God. He even says in Matthew 7, "Not everyone who calls out to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father will enter." So we all know that we can worship God without doing those things that he challenged and calls us to do. We can believe in Jesus, but not follow him. I kind of think that Paul is saying the same exact thing in that famous passage of 1 Corinthians 13. He says, "If I speak in the tongue of men or angels, but do not have love, I am just a clanging gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but have no love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to the poor, but do not have love, I gain nothing." We could have a whole church full of believers, but followers of Jesus are hard to come by. Church, we can do better. We can strive to be more like Christ, to act with compassion, to stand up for justice, and to love one another. Because without love, we are nothing. And our world right now seems to be more individualized, more self-focused, which perhaps has led to being more hate-filled and more violent. We keep ourselves fairly segregated from people who are different from us. And in turn, some of us have adopted fear, confusion, and sometimes ignorance. But this is not the message of the gospel. Jesus told his closest followers to go, be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You see, he begins with something familiar, Jerusalem. The disciples had been working and ministering in Jerusalem for years. They had grown up knowing of the importance of Jerusalem. And same thing with Judea. It was familiar territory. And then Jesus tells them, "Go and be my witnesses in Samaria." This was the place of their enemies. You see, when the Jews came back from exile to their beloved Jerusalem, they found a group of people already living there, the Samaritans. And these people, they were descendants of David, but they had intermarried during the exile in order to repopulate. and the Jews came back to retake Jerusalem, and they saw the Samaritans as less than citizens, and they cast them away. They saw them as enemies to the Jewish religion. But in Jesus' commission to his followers, he calls them to be his witness in Samaria, the home of people who are different from themselves and seen as less than human beings. Well, Jesus commissions us to be his witness, to be like him, to be a bridge and to reconcile those differences between humanity, because no race or economic difference, sexual preference, gender, ability, age, or cultural difference should stop us from loving and sharing in life with all people. John Perkins, who's a civil rights activist, he says, "Go to the people, live among them, learn from them, love them." There is no room in Christianity for individualism. Christ came to have a personal relationship with people so that social transformation could occur. And so when people experience the grace of God, they are compelled to make a difference in the world, to expand God's kingdom on earth. And we do this through seeing all people as children of God and worthy of God's gifts and God's grace. Seek first the kingdom of God. And in experiencing the power of the resurrected Christ, we can become the incarnation of God on earth, God's own image. We are all missionaries, sent out and co-missioned by God to continue Christ's work on earth. Jesus said in John 14, "The work that I do, you shall do. And you will do even greater works than I have done because I am empowering you to do it." So again, we can do better. We must choose to love people unconditionally, to let our hearts break after God's children are killed from violence, or when God's children are treated unfairly because of their gender or their race or their ability. But once our heart is broken, we must pick up the pieces and lean on the Holy Spirit to take a step towards making change in our world. We are all part of systemic poverty, racism, systemic violence, and the list goes on and on and on. It's what Reverend Troy has been talking about, this sin of commission. Doing something against someone else, even if it's unintentional. Even the law of Moses had a way of offering atonement for sins that we are guilty of, even if we didn't directly commit them. But just as often, I believe that some of us are committing sins of omission, knowing about a systemic issue and doing nothing about it. Church, we can do better. Because God is already at work creating a new world, a better world. And when we truly believe that, it affects the way that we live. When we can look past the doom and gloom and look towards the resurrection stories and the hope of Christ, we can become the image of God that God intends us to be. We can incarnate God's hope on earth. We say it in our Lord's Prayer, "Lord, may your kingdom come." Well, today is the day of salvation. The kingdom of God is now, and through us, God is initiating change in this world. And guess what? The story has already been written. God will overcome death and evil because God already has. This week, I read some reports that say that extreme poverty in developing countries has been cut in half. Life expectancy has doubled around the world, and literacy rates have raised to 80% of the world's population. And all this within the last 100 years, and all this because of the work that Christians are doing in the world. God is at work. Do you have eyes to see it? Do you have ears to hear it? An Indian activist, Arundhati Roy, said, "Another world is not only possible, she's on her way. And maybe many of us won't be here to greet her, but on a quiet day, if I listen carefully, I can hear her breathing. I can see it. I can see it in our youth who have this passion for peace and justice. They have a passion to make change in the systemic issues of the world and in our society. And it's an honor to bring them up now, these 17 youth and adults who went on a mission trip this week to Pikeville, Kentucky, to serve God and serve others. I want you to hear how God is at work within them and within the opportunity that they had in Pikeville. They're going to share some of their stories with you now.
Hello, I am Sammy Hartnew, and I am going to be a sophomore this year. This was my very first mission trip, and I'm extremely happy that I went on it. Sorry about that. So, what we were doing on this trip was we were rebuilding a roof for a man named Mr. Sloan, and he was an extremely nice man. He always took time to talk to us when we were on breaks. He always ate lunch with us and told us all about his kids and grandkids. And just overall, he made us all feel so welcomed in his house. And he was so nice to all of us, 17 strangers walking through his house. And so the first day that we arrived to our work site, I was working really hard and trying my best at all these various tasks that we had to do because I wanted to prove that I could make a difference here on this work site. And Larry, the guy who is basically our assigned expert to make sure we didn't mess anything up, he, I guess, noticed that I was working my hardest. And so he gave me the opportunity to be one of the first people to start hammering in the metal guards. Now, to some people, this may not seem like a huge deal, but for me, it meant a lot that he trusted me to work hard and do something right. In my family, I'm the youngest of three children, and when it comes to having a workload, my family sometimes gives me the easier tasks or the not so heavy lifting, which is understandable. But being on this mission trip really gave me a new sense of confidence with what I'm capable of because I always had these people surrounding me with encouragement and they always had confidence in me. And I'm really glad that I was able to go on this trip because it definitely made a difference for me.
Hi, I'm Cole, and like Sammy, this is my first mission trip, and I'm a sophomore too, or I'm going to be. And, I'm going to talk about Thursday. About half of us stopped working on the roof and went back to Pikeville early because we were going to this one charity event where we would wash the feet of kids who came in and spread the gospel, and then we would give them shoes and socks that would match their size, and then that were donated, and then they could go off with those. And we had like Sammy, because she was one of the best workers. She actually stayed on the roof. But I'm glad I did not do that because there's air conditioned inside. And the feet weren't as dirty as I thought they would be, but we had multiple people like running around, getting shoes, escorting kids over to the washing areas. I was like the only one in the group that actually washed feet, but we had other people do various jobs. Like Sam was a really good prayer warrior too. Okay.
Hello, my name is Sam. I'm going into my senior year. I've gone on a fair amount of mission trips. I don't know exactly how many, but this is my second to last, which pains me to say. This trip was really interesting, mostly because of the fact that everyone in Pikeville and around the surrounding area were just, it was a very different culture, very different people, very different beliefs, very different everything, really. And as my English teacher from this year said, traveling is the most humbling experience you can have, and that was extremely true, because you start to see that there are many other beliefs and cultures and morals out there that may not line up with yours or may not have anything like yours, or maybe they do, and you get to kind of step into a completely different lifestyle and a completely different way of looking at things that if you stay in one place your entire life, you're never going to get that experience. And just being able to go to a place where people don't believe in the same things that you do and getting to see that and kind of coming to terms with the fact that the way you live isn't the only way that people live, and that there are people out there who live lives completely different than you, and getting to see that and kind of just struggling definitely with the fact that their views are no less right than yours. The fact that because they believe something different doesn't make their views wrong, it just makes them different, even if you're dead set on the fact that you don't agree with them. And so just having that experience of getting to see a different culture and trying to kind of look through their eyes was an eye-opening experience. Does anybody
else want to? All right, well, let's just give them a thank you for being up here this morning. They literally got home at like 6 o'clock yesterday, and I asked them to be here for both services. So thank you so much for your work this week, and we know God will continue to use you in incredible ways. Can you see it? God's kingdom is all around us, in work and people, and in work in all things. The beginning passage of our scripture today said, "The eye is the lamp of the body. Therefore, if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light." So when we genuinely worship and put God first in our lives, we choose to see the world as God sees it. We become full of God's light to shine in all places: Edwardsville, Pikeville, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. When we look at every person as a child of God, worthy of love and valued by our Creator, our own biases begin to fade. We begin to change. And the neighborhood begins to change. We can do better because God is already doing better. God is already at work in creating this new world in us and all around us. Will you join it? Will your life look differently because of your commitment to Christ? Will you become part of God's movement? God's new world. Pray with me. Lord, we thank you for the witness of these students and adults who went on a trip this week. Stir in us your Holy Spirit. Work within us and help us to always remember to put you first and to spread your love and your kingdom to all people. Amen.